It's us again.
Yep.
We're here. So, it's been an interesting week. It was busy.
For you, probably.
Yeah. I started a new job. It's been good.
I haven't really done much.
We have a fire going in our fireplace. That's my thing I'm obsessed with this weekend.
That's for sure.
We have an actual wood burning fireplace, and this is the first time we used it this weekend. And I've already made Will build us two separate fires.
Well, I didn't burn down your she shed, so that...
That's true.
Nobody burned down your she shed, Carol.
Anything else to report from this week? Oh, I have something to report. We got a helpful comment from someone saying from episode 1, hypothermia actually sets in after 95 degrees.
For your core temperature.
Yes. So.
I knew it was.
What did high. I look up? Wasn't it like 78 or something crazy?
No. What I found was a breakdown of like how to, or like what wetsuit was necessary for what, preventing, to help prevent.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
So it wasn't necessarily that we were like, yeah, this is right, but it was more so like, okay, at this temperature, yeah, you're going to need this wetsuit, but there was a part of me that was like, it's not a big difference from what you're...
It sounded pretty small.
Right.
Yeah. And so 95. Someone commented on our Facebook. I can't remember her name, but that was a helpful comment. Also, my sister-in-law so kindly pointed out school board are elected officials.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I think she texted me.
Oh.
So, thanks, Kirsten, for that information. Because we had no idea.
No. And then, 1920.
Could have been different.
Could have been. I don't think it would have been.
Huh. So, today, I'm going to talk to you about something weird that just happened at where I'm from.
Or you just say where
I'm from. In the city where I'm from. That probably makes more sense. It happened recently, towards the beginning of this month. But first, I'm going to tell you a little bit about this location. So, I'm going to tell you my sources up front, so I do not forget to say them at the end. One of the articles... was actually written by someone I know named Jordan Parsons at the Bronc Rider, which is, I think, the high school newspaper in Blackfoot. Because they're the Broncos.
Well, I don't know.
So...
I'm going to take your word on this one.
Yes. Also, asylumproject.org. There's a fun little site if you ever want to visit that. This one is ldhw.files.wordpress.org. There's a high budget site there. Good information though. Local News 8 in Idaho, eastidahonews.com, which is fabulous source for a lot of different things. And the Idaho State Journal. We're trying something new this time and letting our dog stay in the room with us. So if you hear jumping or growling, that's probably them. Could be Will, but it's probably them.
Incoherent yelling.
Yes.
You'll get on a hill.
So I'm going to talk to you about the State Hospital South, is what we call it. It's a state hospital in Blackfoot. So here's a little bit about it. When it first opened... In 1886, it was named the Idaho Insane Asylum.
That was back to when it was perfectly acceptable to be like, nah, you know what? You're insane. Or they'd send you to a sanatorium and just be like, we got you.
Not a problem. So the patients were referred to as inmates. And at the time, when they opened, there was 36 inmates, 26 men and 10 women, who had previously been at an asylum in Oregon. They just moved them over.
So it was kind of like that Times Interstate Compact.
Well, I guess. I mean, in 1886, they were probably like, hey, we have too many people. Can you guys have some?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There was probably little to no actual paperwork involved. So the people who were there got treatment, with air quotes, treatment, but also worked on the asylum's farms. That's all I know about the farms.
Yeah.
Their treatment consisted of, I lost my train of thought. Okay, so the treatment was primarily custodial care while working on the farm, the garden, the barns, orchards, shops, and laundry. Many of them who were sent to the hospital remained there for years, if not the rest of their lives. A biennial report of the board of directors for the Idaho Insane Asylum for the years 1903 to 1904 said, the patients remaining in the asylum are coming to be more and more of the feeble-minded and helpless class of the old who require increased care. There are a number of patients here who have been insane for more than 20 years, and a still greater number who have been insane for 10 or 15 years. All hope of recovery has passed in these cases, and whatever the joy and comfort of living remain for them must be had in the asylum.
Yeah.
So I think they were like, yeah, we're not sure. We'll just keep them here.
Well, that, you have to figure too.
Which is definitely not a problem, right?
You have to figure though, back then too, like, you'd be classified as insane or
troubled
for just random stuff. Like, they would lobotomize women when they would go through menopause.
Well, to be fair, they probably acted a little crazy.
I mean, in some cases, they don't.
So, it opened in 1886, right? And then in 1889, there was a fire that destroyed the main hospital and caused $25,000 in damage. In 1889 money. So, what's that in 2021 money?
I don't know. Well, you gotta figure...
19, like, at least.
From our last episode, $75,000 was in 1920.
I can't remember.
Came out to $1.1 million now.
Yep, so that's a little bit. It also killed 26 men and women. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if they're all patients or if some were staff. It didn't say. So, straitjackets were used there until 1909. Whoa. Which almost doesn't seem like that long ago, really.
1909?
Well, I know it's like 100 and some odd years, but...
Well, you gotta figure some places were still using them up until the 80s. So you gotta, I mean, kudos to them. You know, they were...
I guess.
They didn't use them that long.
They didn't. That's true. I guess they saved people 70...
20 years. So, you know, like, oh, we gotta cut back on cost.
Yes. They did do lobotomies. They were performed in an operating room, which is actually now a Syringa Chalet nursing facility. I'm pretty sure it's like a nursing home that's over there by the hospital.
Could be.
Let's see. From 46 to 47, so 2 years, there was 7,000 insulin shock treatments and 2,400 electroconvulsive shock treatments.
So what's the insulin shock treatments? Is that where they just load them up with insulin and send them into
a shock?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or is it depriving them of it?
Oh, great. Now people are going to comment on this. Tell us what we don't know again. Idea.
This is all news to me.
I don't know.
I know electroshock. And what was the other one? Hydroshock therapy?
Yeah. Insulin. I would imagine. Shoot, I don't know. Because an overload of insulin. Well, either way, it could be really deadly. I don't know.
Because, I mean, obviously, electroshock is electricity.
Right.
And then hydroshock, from what I understand, was they would dunk you in extremely cold water and send your body into shock that way.
I would say probably, I mean, they would have to give you insulin to send you into shock, probably.
Something to look up.
Something to look up. So today, State Hospital South is still there. There's an adolescent unit that has 16 beds, obviously for patients 11 through 17. Three adult units for those over 18, and the Syringa Chalet Nursing Facility, which is for over 65.
So I'm not able to go there as a patient for...
Well, you probably could. I mean, they got three units. That's plenty, right?
If you can't be under 65.
Well, the adolescent unit is for 11 to 17. Three adult units for those over 18.
Yeah, but I think by now we can both determine that I have the mentality of a 65-year-old man, if not older.
Oh.
It's 7.
So you just want to go to the nursing facility.
Well, it's after 7 o'clock. I'm exhausted.
Okay, that's fair. So, that's just a small history of it.
Yeah, I wonder if that place is haunted.
Well, you're in luck.
I bet it is.
I'm about to tell you a little bit about two mysterious things that happened there. I mixed some mysteries. Mysteries. I mixed up my mysteries this week. So, hauntings. This is a quote from... I think this one was on the Idaho State Journal. They interviewed the ghost hunters that are in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they also have tunnels underneath the building that they used to transport patients with. Well, what they don't tell you is that there are also rooms down there that they used to do experiments with. One room was a waterboarding room. They would either stick a towel over the person's face and dump water on it, or put their face in a bathtub. They were trying to get rid of the evil spirits. Noelle Rasmussen said that. She said, "We went in there on Halloween night. We had a guide that worked there, and while we were down there, we could absolutely feel a presence. We also heard tapping on the pipes that we were told was from the ghosts of deceased patients." So Blackfoot is where I lived for several years before I came here. About 10. 9 or 10. And I had friends that worked at the State Hospital South. Now, when I lived there, I believe there's several buildings, like 4 buildings, and I believe they were only using 2 of them. And actually, when I lived there, they actually tore down one of them. But I had a friend that worked there that said, so she went in the building, one of the abandoned ones, and she said it's just like they left one day. Like, the patient boards were still up. They still had, like, writing on them. Some of the patient chart stuff was still there. They just, like, left one day and moved. And I was never able to find why they would have done that. If they built a new one and moved people over, and that's why.
Just, and I don't know if it's the reason, but from experience, a lot of times stuff like that is strictly because the building itself is unsafe. And you can't, I mean, whether it's structurally or you know, well, I guess asbestos back then was, I remember seeing one advertisement for asbestos, and it was deemed like the miracle agent, and come to find out it was a horrible thing.
Well, And I don't know why. I can't remember why she told me she was in there, in that building. But if it was condemned like that, they probably wouldn't have. Well, and maybe she wasn't supposed to be in there.
Right, yeah, they didn't know.
Good thing I didn't use her name.
But, yeah, I mean, you go to places like the State Pen and Rollins, and from what I've been told, the buildings are still...
That old one we went to?
No, this is the one that's still being used.
Oh, okay.
But that one, there are buildings out there from what I understand that, and when I was out there, there's...
To clarify, he worked there.
There's, there are still some buildings there, but from what I understood and was told, those, the ones that are still currently there, it looks the same. It's just the building itself was unsafe and started collapsing.
The part of the prison?
Yeah.
That they're still using.
No, I mean, they obviously knocked out that one down.
But it's on the same grounds.
Yeah.
Okay, see, and that could be the same situation here, because they were, there's, I mean, it's still an active state hospital.
Right.
Obviously, it's not called the Idaho Insane Asylum anymore. It's called the State Hospital South. And,
But you gotta, you don't want to keep that stigma.
Well, not only a stigma, but it's not really correct to say.
It's alright.
Oh, jeez.
For a guy that's been in
We made it 3 episodes before our first lawsuit came out.
No.
Not a problem.
You can't have a lawsuit for that. I mean, from a guy that's been on that end of things, yeah, it's alright.
Oh, jeez.
I take it with stride.
So, I also had a friend who went down in those tunnels, and I remember him telling me about it, and he said it was just like, I mean, it's underground in a tunnel and there's no lights, like you just, I mean, you can't even see like in front of your face. I mean, there might have been lights, but they weren't on when he was there.
Oh yeah.
And he said you could hear things, and you could, like, just like you're about in the ghost shows, like you catch a whiff of like someone's perfume or something, and that there was Now, he's not a fellow that scares easily, and he was pretty scared. I mean, I don't want to say pretty scared, but I don't know that he'd have went down there again.
Man, you're just laying it all out. You're like, I'm not saying he was scared, but man, this guy is a sissy.
No, he's not a sissy.
What a sissy.
So, I mean...
this coming from a guy who's dead... dropped him off in the cemetery and was like, oh, the car don't start. You guys got to get out and push. And then we all get out and he takes off just laughing.
I bet your dad loves that you tell that story on a podcast.
I can guarantee you my dad doesn't know what a podcast
That's
is.
That's true. He'll only know if your brother tells him.
Oh.
Let's see who can get
to him first. We should have just an episode dedicated to the stuff that my dad did. That we were told, and then just be like, so did you do this? Get him on the phone and be like, did you do this? No. Nope. Your mom was making that up.
Speaking of laying it all out, jeez. So, here's the thing. Since it's still operational, they don't really do, like, tours or ghost hunts.
Well, I don't know if it's just that, but being that it's a state, it's still actively owned by the state.
Right.
There's got to be some issue with that, too.
Well, and, I mean, it's a privacy thing. Like, there's patients there.
Right.
And so you can't just be curious about hauntings and fixing to go invade all these people's privacy. Like, that's their home.
Right.
So that's about all I have on hauntings, except for all of the rumors that are just there, but I can't remember specifics, or else I might share some. So, but here's something interesting. Now, when I lived in Blackfoot, heck, I'm so bad with directions, but I would say probably west. Hmm. two. I can't think. Anyways, it was a direction away from there. I lived approximately a block from the state hospital. And when you go there, like, you can drive past it or whatever. There's not, like, fences and barbed wire. It's not like a prison. Like, there's buildings with lawns, and I'm sure the buildings have security, like they'd have to, but I mean, it's not like a prison would be. Like, when you go to the prison out here, and you can't, I mean, there's like fences and then another fence and then like all this, you know. This is a relatively open place, but they do have criminally insane people there. And I couldn't actually find an article about this because it probably resolved itself too fast. But I was coming home one day. So I lived a block down the road, and it's a one-way street. And then to get to my house, though, you had to turn in an alley. And then we lived in an apartment behind a house. Like, the house faced the street, and we went down the alley to get to our apartment. And then on the other side, like, we had like a parking area, and on the other side of our parking area was just a bunch of trees, and then there was houses behind on the other, like, the back of the house, you know, on the other side of the alley. And so I was coming home, and it was like, I don't know, probably mid-afternoon, and I was driving up the road towards my house, and I went to turn in the alley, and I just saw all these people coming from the state hospital. Like so many people. I bet there was 50 or 60 people coming out of there. And some of them were dressed like super nice, and some of them were more like just everyday clothes. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And so I drove around the block because it was a one way. And so I had to go like around the whole block to get like back behind them. And because my first thought was like, maybe I shouldn't go home because something weird is happening. And I have to go in this alley and there's like all these trees over there. And so I didn't know if I should go home. So I just went around the block and I came back around and I got real brave and I rolled down the window and I said, hey, like, what's going on? And the guy said, jerk. No. And the guy, and they all had, like, I remember, not all of them, but a lot of them had, like, handheld radios. And so I said, hey, what's going on? And he says, well, we just had someone walk away. Like, it totally wasn't a big deal. But it clearly was a big deal, because there was so many people. And then pretty soon all the cops were there, and I was like, man, I don't know what to do. So I thought, well, like, it's daylight, I'll just go home. So I went home and parked, and if I remember correctly, they didn't catch this guy for a couple days, and I had to leave for work at like 3:30 in the morning. So I would just go outside, and I remember kind of going outside and like peeking around the corner to where my, because you had to, we parked like on the side of our house, and you had to walk into the front, and I remember like peeking around the corner and whatever, because we didn't know who this guy was or whatever. So that was something that led me to be interested in escapees from there, because it's not, I mean, I'm sure the buildings are secure, but the grounds, not really that secure. So if you can get out the door,
that would be considered a building though to me.
What?
If you can get out of a door, then the buildings aren't secure either.
Well, I'm sure they have security measures, but...
Oh, probably, but...
I mean...
I'm not out to criticize them, but...
Well, so I was looking it up, and because here's the thing. Right now, someone's missing from that state hospital. They left, I think on the 3rd, it looks like. Because this was on the 4th, this article from East Idaho News was on the 4th. And they say he's been gone about 24 hours. So it was on the 3rd of January. So when I was looking this up, I found this is the third. Maybe the second. Now my information's not real clear. I wrote it down, but at some point I can't remember the code now. But it's at least the second one since August of last year, of 2020. And the other one was a guy, he was a violent fella, and they took him to a medical hospital for some reason, and he escaped from there. But they did find him. But he was a violent guy who was just found unfit to stand trial, so they sent him to the state hospital. Mm. Which is the same as this fella here. Now, when he, when this guy escaped, his name's Lathan Dallas Webb, and he's 25.
Lathan?
Lathan. L-A-I-T-H-O-N.
Sounds like a hippie name.
Okay. Lathan? How does this sound like a hippie name?
It's like naming your kid Dirk.
Oh, jeez. So now we have no people who will listen named Lathan or Dirk. Listen, we only have so many listeners. We cannot be making people mad. So, anyways, this guy has been in the state hospital. Since it looks like early, sometime late October, early November of 2020. So he's only been there 3 months at the most. And so the reason he's there is because he had charges against him pending from an alleged violent carjacking of a taxi in October. It was towards the end of October. October 27th. So, when he escaped from the state hospital, they did not release his name because, probably like a HIPAA situation, I would assume. But what they did release was his photo. So someone at EastIdahoNews.com took his photo, matched it to a mugshot, and got the name. And that's how we know that's who it is. So, the judge ordered him to be committed there. Oh, in November. That's where it says. I knew it said somewhere. After finding him unfit for trial. So what he did was, okay, so he's charged with felony robbery, aggravated assault, 2 counts of assault and battery on police, and misdemeanor resisting arrest. And this happened in Boise. And they came across him while investigating a stolen car. And so, here's what it says. Officers were at a home when Webb escaped out the back of the house. Webb then got into a taxi. Police tried to pull the taxi over, and Webb allegedly forced the driver out of the cab, reportedly with threats and possibly a gun. Webb then took off. Law enforcement pursued the taxi as Webb sped into oncoming traffic. Eventually, an officer used his patrol vehicle to stop the taxi. The crash caused the police car to burst into flames, which spread to a parked vehicle.
I'm not gonna lie, that'd be pretty epic to see.
So this fella,
like, holy sh! Did you see that?
He wasn't, like, just chilling, grabbing a car that had the keys in it. He's, like, a violent person. So he goes to court. The judge finds him unfit to stand trial. They send him to Blackfoot State Hospital South. He's there from November to first part of January, the 3rd he left. So that would have been 2 months.
So wait, back up. The cops went to his house to go get him because they had a warrant to serve on him?
I don't know. They just said they were investigating a stolen car. So I don't know if they just went there to talk to him or they had a... It doesn't... I don't know. It doesn't say.
No.
They went to his house.
I mean, stolen vehicle's a felony just because it's theft over 1,000.
Right. So, but I don't... This doesn't say anything about the initial stolen car. These are all charges from the taxi situation.
Right, but my thing is... If you're not in your right mind, you're going to be like... I don't necessarily think you're going to be like, you know what, they're here to come arrest me because I did this.
What do you mean?
For him to book out of there like that?
Well, you know, we don't know why he's unfit. It doesn't have his diagnosis, so he could be paranoid already.
Right.
So, I mean, I could see if you have certain diagnosis and then you're paranoid because of that and then the cops show up to investigate a stolen car, how you might bail.
Yeah, maybe.
Even if you had nothing to do with it. But especially if you had something to do with it. So these charges, though, I think are all from the taxi situation.
Yeah.
So, then the hospital, they found him at a hospital later. He had previously bandaged gunshot wounds. But the police did not inflict those. Hospital staff treated him, and then the police booked him into the Ada County Jail, where he stayed before the judge sent him to the state hospital. He also has a history of running from police in Utah, including an incident that resulted in an officer-involved shooting where nobody was injured. That doesn't make sense to me, but that's what it says.
Oh, you should have a warning shot.
Oh, okay. Well, when it says officer-involved shooting, it sounds like someone shot the officer.
Or very well could have taken a shot at the
officer. I guess they could have... I guess he could have shot him, like, in the vest or something, and that's not necessarily an injury.
Yeah.
And several Utah news outlets have reported stories about him running from police. So this is not, like, a isolated incident. This fella has some trouble tendencies.
Right.
So, so he's still out. It's been, what's it now, like the 15th or 16th? 17th? So he's been out about 2 weeks. Exactly 2 weeks, I guess. And he's still gone.
Well, I don't know. Sounds like he is rather spontaneous, but at the same time, it seems like he knows what he's doing.
Well, and that's the thing. He obviously he's been deemed unfit for some reason.
Right.
So there's obviously a mental health capacity situation. Right? Now, in my previous job, I had knowledge of what might happen if someone doesn't take care of their mental health. If you're not taking your medicine like it's prescribed, if you're not seeing your people like you're supposed to, and it's going unchecked, I mean, that could be causing some of his behaviors to be escalated.
Right.
But does that excuse his behaviors?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just a hard line without knowing a lot more about his specific situation and diagnosis. Even with knowing it, we probably wouldn't be able to really truly make a judgment call.
I don't know. My thing is, from experiences with people in in correctional facilities. You know, I've come across guys that have no mental issues, know they messed up, own it, whatever. You know, you go from that to guys that, you know, have no idea what they did or are just really good at just working it and being like, I don't know, I just blacked out, this happened. And it's just, it's kind of hard to be like, without knowing what they're saying or why they're saying that he's unfit. It's like, it is tough because, like I said, I've seen guys that are like severely troubled. And it's like, yeah, these guys have some issue, whether or not they know it, but you see them in a correctional place and it's like, yeah, you know, you probably should be here. I don't think Wyoming, though, I don't think they have a full-on criminally insane psychiatric facility, though, either. I mean, I'm sure they have the state hospital here, but...
Well, and to clarify, I don't think the state hospital in Blackfoot is strictly criminally insane. No.
But, like, if you to me, it would make sense. If you're going to house somebody with that, not so much diagnosis, but that claim, then probably have a lot more stringent security measures, including fencing.
Well, and that's the thing. Well, and there, I guess to be fair, there is some fencing around it, but it's like that one, like you could, I mean, I could probably fit through it. The bar. So there is like a fence, like a barrier, but it's not.
Right.
I think it's more decorative than anything, honestly.
Aesthetics over functionality?
I guess. Well, and it might just be that they were never intended to house people who were a flight risk. But, I mean, in that case, they probably shouldn't send them there.
Right, yeah.
I mean, if they're not equipped for it. But, I mean, to be fair, too, I mean, people break out of prisons, and that's their whole job is to keep someone there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not impossible.
It is kind of weird that they've had at least two in three or four months.
Right. Which kind
of... And possibly a third. I wish I could crack that code I wrote down somehow.
You know, there's something lacking there. And...
Well, I don't think we need to be pointing the finger.
Well,
it's not their fault that he makes bad choices, you know?
Well, my thing... It really... There's an issue there that...
Oh, here comes a train again.
Right on time.
Yep.
That there's something wrong where two, possibly three, in such a short period of time, have gotten out. You know, so.
Well, and it very easily could just be a short staffing problem. I mean, COVID's wreaked a lot of havoc. Maybe these people who are escaping are seeing a weakness in their system if they're short-staffed, or, right. I mean, they probably had to change a lot of protocols. Not that I'm excusing that it's happening, but I just think we need to be slow with the blame game.
Well, I guess what are the statistics as far as over the course of the last 10 years, how many people have escaped?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean... If it's more,
I mean, it happened at least twice while I lived there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it's more than two, possibly three, then there's something.
Well, and I guess we can't say the person who I, and I never saw that person out in the community, but I guess we can't assume that they were criminally, you know,
had
a criminal background. It could have just been someone they were concerned about might hurt themselves. You know? I mean, it could be a number of different things.
But it's not so much a mental ward, but it's a Alzheimer's hospital close by here that when they had, I remember the one day I was sitting in the
close to where we live now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When I was working up in town here, we got a call. It was like, I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. One of the patients there had gone missing. So they locked the place down. I mean, luckily, the guy walked outside to have a cigarette. Somehow he was still up and walked outside and had a cigarette. But I think that was what it was, but they found it right there. So it's not uncommon, but it's one of those things where it doesn't matter who it is. If you're, you know, trying to provide services, yeah, you should definitely lock down and immediately try and find the person.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It could have been, if I remember correctly, it was someone who had a criminal background, but, I mean, I know that another time someone got out and they found him living down by the river in, I don't know if it was a tent or, but, I mean, he'd only made it 2 miles, but he was gone several days, if not a week.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, Blackfoot's got a lot of farmland, and it'd be kind of like if someone escaped from the WMCI over here. And there's a lot of empty space around there, and if you weren't able to span out real quick, you know.
Well, there's a difference to that, though, too, in the fact that all those fences are monitored, so
I'm just comparing the area.
Right.
Not the facilities. Obviously, a medium correctional facility is going to be more secure than a state hospital.
You would think, though, that it would be a little bit more secure than just being able to walk out.
Well, I'm sure he didn't just walk out. I'm sure there's more to it. But also, you know, I mean, you know, when there's an active investigation, they can't just say everything that happened right away.
Right.
So, I'm sure if and when they catch him. But, I mean, if he's been in trouble in Utah and he made it to Boise, I mean, that's...
Oh, he's probably not even in the state.
That's a good, probably at least 5 hours drive.
Yeah. He's
so, if he's been gone 2 weeks, he's probably long gone.
Yeah. So, what about this other one that you had?
What do you mean?
Because then you say you had two guys that escaped there?
Yeah. Well, there has been two guys.
Oh, I thought you had details on the other one.
I already told you. It's just that he went to the medical hospital.
Oh, I thought this was the same guy.
No.
Oh.
No. He went to the, I can't remember why he was at the, he just was a violent, they said he was a violent criminal that was there. Oh, second train right on time again. So those are the two that happened more recently.
Yeah, I wonder like what the statistics are as far as escapes, because I know you've told me a couple of them, a or a couple of times that you've run into situations where somebody's escaped, but you'd think that there would be some more stringent measures. Well, what's weird too?
Well, we don't know what the measures are, though.
Well, that's the thing. It should be obviously a lot more intense than what it is.
Well,
but
I mean, you can't.
I guess too.
You can't blame the hospital for.
Why would
for
you,
people? I mean, you can to a certain extent, but you can't. Like, these are the escapees' bad choices.
Right. But I guess as a state facility, why wouldn't you have like an on-site medical facility too?
Well, they might, but I mean, like, just like at the prison over here, sometimes it's above their capabilities.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
We don't know why he was in the other hospital.
Right. I mean, here, they're very, very limited. You know, it's not like you just go in there for, you know, it's pretty
much. Well, I
know
they have, like, nurses there.
Right. It's pretty much like an urgent care. I mean, that's the long and short of it.
Well, that might be all they had there. Or it might have been like he had to get some big test or something. I mean, it could have been a number of different things.
COVID test?
Maybe. Seems like they probably have that capability, though, since it's a swab that goes up the nose.
Wait. When did it start going up the nose? Jokes. Anyways. Yeah, I don't. There's a lot of weirdness to it. And it's not that it's a mystery by any understanding. It's just that whole fact of like, well, this is what would make sense to me. And that's, you know, when you have situations like this, it's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you do it that way? And
well, in hindsight, it's always 2020. Maybe he, I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Could be aliens.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's all we have for this week. If you wanted to find us on Facebook, Will, where would you find us?
Hometown Mysteries.
Mysteries?
Mystery.
There you go. What about Instagram?
I don't know anything about Instagram.
Well, with all this extra time you have, maybe you could look it up.
I'm a busy man.
Give it a Google.
What's Google? The only thing that Google's good for is when the internet's down and that little dinosaur picture comes up. If you hit spacebar, you can play that game.
Okay, well, now that you've insulted Google and the state hospital and a bunch of other places... This will be our last episode, apparently.
No, it isn't.
HometownMystery@gmail.com.
We got last week's episode, this week's episode, and then we're working. I gotta finish up the next one.
Uh-huh.
And then what was it, Instagram, you said?
Yeah.
We have Twitter.
We do not. I mean, the world does, but we do not.
You gotta be careful with that. You don't want to say the wrong thing on that one either. You get blacklisted from Twitter. But
I wonder if they can hear our dog snoring.
If you want, you can try and move that microphone over there. It's getting loud. And what was the other one you were telling me about, though?
MeWe.
Yeah, what is that?
It's like Facebook, kind of. I don't know. I've been playing around with it a little bit. I like it. Oh, we're on there, yeah. But no Twitter.
No Twitter.
I don't get it. I don't get Twitter.
I don't understand it either. I mean, if you're the...
I get lost in a rabbit hole on there sometimes, but... I always forget to, like, post something.
I go on there, and the last thing I met... Last thing I brought up on Twitter was me complaining to Xbox. What was it? Tech support. And then they just sent me a message back. I
can only imagine.
They just sent me a message back saying, we don't handle this. You have to contact us. And I'm like, that's what I thought I just did.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, we're signing off then. To review, Facebook?
Hometown Mystery.
Instagram?
Don't know what that is.
MeWe.
Revert back to the last comment.
What's our email?
HometownMysteries@gmail.com.
Wrong. Try again.
HometownMystery@gmail.com.
There you go. You gotta be putting S's in there. People don't know how to reach us.